This morning, or this evening, I want to talk about how the word makes Christ so perfect, or the perfectness of the word, or the perfectness of Christ, however you want to say it. And to do that, first we're going to go through some verses here concerning Jacob and his father-in-law, whose name was Laban. And to do that, we'll go to Genesis chapter 29 and we're going to start in verse 11, and eventually we're going to get down to verse 29. And it says, "And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept." Verse 12, "And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father." So by saying father's brother, if you look at the chart on Appendix 29, it's a brilliant chart. For some reason, people confuse those names, and the Companion Bible has them correct. For example, I have no idea why people confuse Issachar, who was out of Haran, who's another one of Abraham's brother. Abraham had two brothers, Nahor and Haran. So Issachar's out of Haran, and Sarah's out of, Sarah's half brother to Abraham. Anyway, Appendix 29 takes all the confusion out of it. And it's also interesting to note that Abraham and Sarah are half, had the same father but different mothers. And that's in Genesis 30 and verse 12. 20 and verse 12. Genesis 20 and verse 12. So, I'm not going to read that, but that whole chapter 20 is where Sarah got younger. She got younger because she was past bearing age. And then the very next chapter you see Abraham's 99, she's 89, and they have Isaac. Okay, so in verse 13, so we see it says, "And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son," that's Rebekah. Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son. So Laban's sister is Rebekah, "that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things." So he sounds like a pretty good guy here, doesn't he, Laban? He's all family and, and even the next verse "And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month." So 30 days, a month was 30 days in those days. It wasn't until the year about 650 BC that the calendar switched to 365 days. NASA agrees with that. But you might say that Laban had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. We'll get to, as we go a little farther, we'll kind of see that a little more. But then in verse 15, "And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" So after 30 days, he's asking Jacob for, what will your wages be? Let's keep going. "And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man or an outsider. Abide with me. The Mesopotamia is where all of these people are right now. Laban and all of the inbreeding you'll see in Appendix 29. But that was supposed to be Shem's area. When they left the ark, Shem was supposed to get that area. It was Nimrod. I won't go back to that verse in Genesis, but early Genesis, but he invaded Shem, so to speak. Nimrod did. Also, the land of Canaan got invaded. But he said, it's better for me to give her to thee than that I should give her to, and you know, another man. Abide with me. Okay, so verse 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now, this feast, as we'll see in a minute, is the first day of a bridal week, what's called a bridal week. Although that word does not appear in the original anywhere, it does in the NIV, in a verse when we get down to it. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Okay, so that's the first of 7 days. And then in verse 23, and it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. And I'm just going to keep reading on through 29 now. Then I'm going to come back. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. So, that means that he worked for 7 years for Leah, and then he worked for 7 years, and then he got Rachel. Right? Or no? No, that's not right. If you look at verse 27 where it says, fulfill her week, it looks like in the King James that this is talking about Rachel's week. Fulfill her week. You know, because verse 26, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service, which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. So it looks like that it looks here in the King James as though this he worked 7 more years, but that in fact is he worked the bridal week and he received her after that week. So he had both wives at the same time, only Leah was 1 week earlier in days. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. That's Leah's bridal week. And he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. Now, I even taught it that way before when I was younger. But if you, and the Companion Bible brings it out, if you look in the note on verse 28, he gave him Rachel. And here Bullinger says, a popular mistake to suppose that Jacob did not marry Rachel till the end of the second 7 years. For in the first seven were born seven sons, you know, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, and Joseph. In the second seven, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, and Dinah. And the way we can figure all that out is through chronology. And that's why I say this is, the word is so perfect, you know, the way it's all laid out. And by the way, he was 84 years old when he first married Leah. And then 1 week later, he married Rachel. He was 84 years old, so how many of us could have waited that long for a wife? But let me see. Also, to bear another verse that bears that out, this point out, is in verse 31. It says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So in other words, they were both at the same time his wives. And perhaps you already know all this stuff, but if you don't, I'll go through it anyway, because it's a kind of a fun little lesson anyway in the King James, in the Appendix 50, rather. And in the Appendix 50, page 52, there's a couple of, if you look at that whole area in there, there's only five verses you need to work that whole thing out. And you don't see the verses here on this appendix. But, like, for example, you see Jacob was 77 years old when he first came to Paddan Aram. And that was a 20-year period. And there were three sections in that 20-year period. 7, 7, and 6. First he worked 7 years for Rachel, but he ended up getting Rachel and also Leah. So he worked another 7 years, and then he wanted to leave. He wanted to leave right then at the end of those 7 years, but then he worked six more years for the cattle. Now, the whole key is through Joseph. And if you do have that page 52 open, you'll see Joseph in bold letters right there at the end of the second 7 years. For that, let's turn to Genesis 47. No, wait a minute. That's not the one. Let's see, Jacob. Genesis 45, 6 is the verse. 45:6. I think I got the right one. Let's see. No, that's not the right one either. Hold on. It's, the one I want is 30, let's see, Genesis 30, verse 25 and 26. Yeah. Let's go to Genesis chapter 30, verses 25 and 26. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. So right after he had Joseph, that was the end of the 7 years, the 14 years, the second seven. And he said, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. So he didn't even have all 12 sons yet, but he wanted to leave there right then. And this shows you that right when Rachel had Joseph, that's when he wanted to leave, because his work was finished. He had already worked the second seven also, and that's what he says here. Okay, but the whole key, we have to tie Jacob into Joseph and Jacob together. So to do that, first we have to go to Genesis 47, 1, 8, and 9. And we got to see where those two are in age difference. And in Genesis 47, chapter 1, it says, then Joseph came and told Pharaoh, man, I can't believe this. It's not it either. This is right. And then Joseph told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. So this is when they first entered the land. Down in verse 8, and Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. So he was 130, Jacob was, when they entered the land. Or when the 250, there was 430 years, and they entered the land right in the middle of that at the 215-year mark. And that's what, right here at verse 9. He was 130 years old when they entered Egypt, I should say. I keep saying the land. When they entered Egypt, Jacob was 130. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Because if you take Adam, you can go all the way down to Methuselah or Lamech, either one. Then that's one generation. I mean, one person. You go all the way down to the flood. Then you pick Shem up. Shem lived a long time. Matter of fact, on my chart, he actually lived and knew Jacob. But on the Companion Bible chart, he misses it by a few years, not many. But that's what he says here, that the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. I haven't lived nearly as long as them, because it only took four people to get down to him, or five, depending, on the chart you use. But, okay, so that tells us how old Jacob was. Now we have to figure out how old Joseph was when they entered Egypt. So for that, we go to Genesis 41:46. And let's see, it says, and Joseph, okay, this is one verse we need. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. So far he's 30. That's a key verse. Then in 45:6, it says, now here is Joseph talking to, the 12, his brothers and, the brothers and Jacob never won. So he says, he's talking to the brothers because they came down to get the corn in Egypt. So, and he's telling them to go back and get Jacob. This is Joseph talking in 45:6. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be hearing nor harvest. So there's 5 years left. So there was 7 years of good, of plenty, plus the 2 years of famine. So that's 9 years. So 9 plus 30 is, he was 39 years old when they entered the land. So that's how you relate Joseph to Jacob. Jacob was 130 when Joseph was 139. So when he was 39, I mean. Jacob was 91 years old when he had Joseph. Okay. So those are the key verses. That's how we can date it back. That's how we know the 20 years in Paddan Aram with those people, how that connects together like that. Now in Genesis, just to reaffirm something I said, Genesis 31:41 says, and here's Jacob talking to Laban, this is after they had already left, and Laban tracked them down. Thus have I been 20 years in my house. I served thee 14 years for thy 2 daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. So those are the verses. There's 5 verses there that backs up Appendix 50, and it shows you how Bollinger came up with all that chart. If you use those verses and study that in the Appendix 50, it should. I think you could see it pretty simple. And it's also true though that Bollinger didn't come up with that. It was known long before his time. In fact, I have a book, it was written in 1778, a guy named Thomas Elwood, and he talked about the dates. He didn't go through these verses I went through. But he also quoted someone else that already knew that before him. I'm not sure, maybe, Lightfoot, not probably. He was a great student. He probably knew. But the whole point of what I'm trying to bring up here is, see, this also proves that Rachel and Leah were, that he did not work for that second 7 years. That by going through this study, you can see that this chronology backs up the very fact. So, in Daniel 8:13, it talks about that certain saint, and that certain saint is Christ, the wonderful numberer. In Palmoni, the Hebrew word, that's the Hebrew word of that certain saint. It's a wonderful numberer. So chronology, and so that's part two. Part one was the verses we went through. And then part two was Appendix 50. And now part three, I just want to close out with a couple of other thoughts here. It talks about, how great the word is, how great the Lord is. And for that, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8. And that's the wisdom. That's where Christ is identified with wisdom. And I'm going to read verses 22 through 26. This is speaking of Christ and his greatness. It says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. This is wisdom talking. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abiding when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. So, the more we know about Christ, and this is, I'm going to close with this verse, Colossians 2:19. The more we know about Christ and respect him and look up to him and see how perfect he is and his word, is the more we can pay heed to this verse in Colossians 2:19, which you all know, you're all familiar with, but it says, and not holding fast, that's in the note, and then again in the NIV, that's not being disconnected, but and not holding fast the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. So, that's what we want. Once we get to that point, life gets real simple for us because our money, for example, doesn't belong to us. You know, if you spend money and it goes, but you know, it was for the Lord, that's not wasted. That's his money. It's not our money. So the more we look up to him and see his perfectness in the word, the more we can appreciate who we are in the church, which is his body. And at that point, we love his appearing, and we are past tense. We are already seated in the heavenlies. So that's really all I wanted to cover for tonight. And with that, I'll go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Thank you again, Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, for all of you've done for us, brought us from dust, and breathed life into us, making us living beings, living souls. And we're nothing, Lord, and you're everything to us. All we are is what you make us, what you do through us. And we appreciate that and everything that you do for us. We pray for each one here. And if there are special needs, Lord, put your hand down on them, bless them, let them feel your strength, and let us all be knit together in love. We pray these things in your great name. Amen.